Well, good morning again. My name's Keith, if you missed that earlier, but I'm just so excited to be with you all today. I'm normally at the Springville Crossing campus, but I have the honor and privilege of being here with you today and just getting to know my brothers and sisters in Christ across Revive Wesleyan. So that's exciting to me. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but in the scenes of that video that we just watched, there were some people, okay, that clearly suffer from something that I do. And maybe you do, or maybe you know someone who does. It's something called overpacking-itis. Did you notice someone trying just to get that thing zipped up? That's me, okay? Only even way worse than was depicted in those scenes. In fact, one of the best inventions to me was that little zipper thing that they've added to the side of some soft suitcases that allow it to expand. You know what I mean? I make the most of that, okay? Now, my wife, Laura, she, on the other hand, when it comes to packing, she's a minimalist. In fact, early on in our marriage, she was really silly, okay? She actually thought that if we took a 2 or 3 day trip, that we could share a suitcase. That is not happening when you're married to me, okay? So to that, I say, hello, my name is Keith, and I am, in fact, an overpacker. Now, with all that said, the fact of you maybe being like me and being an overpacker, or being like my wife and being a minimalist, while annoying to one or the other, it isn't really that big of a deal, right? But when you and I, when we move beyond the physical things of life, church, and into the spiritual, and into the health of our very being, well, the idea of overpacking or carrying too much burden, it is not a good thing. It is not a healthy thing for us or for our relationship with others or for our relationship with God. And speaking of God, his desire and plan for us is that we not live with too many burdens. And I, in fact, believe, and I know based on my own experience, that we are not even meant to live with and carry many of the burdens that we do. That is not God's best or desire for us. And in fact, I want you to listen to Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. And this is spoken by Jesus as he reveals himself, church, as the Son of God. Let's read it. Come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, says Jesus, is easy, and my burden is light. Now, let's be real, okay? And this is key. This is key for this whole series, and this is key overall just to life in general. Are you ready for it? This is key, okay? The Christian life has no less hardships, has no less burdens than the non-Christian life. But here's the difference. Do you know the difference? The difference is, and again, church, know this difference. That's my plea for you and I today. Know this difference, and not just up here, but in here. The difference is that we, as believers in Christ, we have direct access to the God of all creation. And why, among many other reasons? Well, in order to deal with them all. And when I say all, I mean all of these burdens and all of these hardships that come your and my way. Church, think about it. We, okay, you, through Jesus, have or can have direct access to God himself, who helps us with our burdens. You see, we aren't meant to bear the burdens of life alone. We can release them to our God, church. Now, with that said, this series that we begin today is going to be one where we look at one of the most loved psalms in all of the Bible. And I will let you know that the inspiration for the series comes from a book by Max Lucado. It's called Traveling Light. It's got way more in it than we can unpack in a few weeks. So I'd encourage you to get that book and check it out. But what we're going to do here is we're going to look at, again, one of the most loved psalms of all time. It's Psalm 23. And we are going to do so that it can be, as it is intended to be, a model for us a model for you and I regarding how we can go about that, how we can do that, how we can release our burdens to God, and why, in fact, we can trust him with them. With that, let's read the psalm, okay, in its entirety, as we will many of the weeks of this series. And then we're going to go back and we're going to pick out parts of it each week, but we want to read it every week so that we know it, okay? Hear it, know it, all right? So today, Psalm 23, let's read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, God. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness, God, and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the first two words that David writes here in Psalm 23 are the Lord. Now, if you're anything like me, you've probably brushed by these two words pretty quickly in the past to get to what? To get to the good stuff, right? However, that is a crucial phrase, church, that really gives the rest of the psalm its power. You see, David, he had many other titles that he could have used to start this psalm with, titles that were used throughout Jewish history, things like God Almighty, or God Most High, or God Everlasting. But he chooses to use here the Hebrew word Yahweh. Yahweh. Why? Well, Yahweh, you see, is not a title. It is God's name. Now, I myself, and many of you, I'm sure, we go by different titles, don't we? Titles like dad, or mom, or teacher, or pastor, or son, or daughter. But if you want to call me by name, church, you call me Keith. And if you want to call God by his name, you call him Yahweh. Now, there are lots of titles that you can choose from. There are plenty to choose from, and there's nothing wrong with that. But again, if you want to call God by his name, it's Yahweh, church. And we know this because God revealed this, his name, okay, for the first time to Moses. And it means, I am who I am. And when you and I, when we call God by his name, Yahweh, it is actually the third person form of what God told Moses. So Yahweh means he is who he is. Or you could say it also means the existing one. Now you may be thinking as I say that, you know, well, that's interesting, Pastor Keith, but what does that have to do with anything? What does that mean exactly? Why is that important? Well, let me tell you why. And it goes to the very simplicity of it, this phrase, he is who he is, or the existing one. That is what is so powerful about it, the simplicity of it. Because what it tells us is that he, God, Yahweh, he just is. Now, that can be frustrating for humans because if we are going to like follow and worship someone, we want to know what he or she or it is like, right? But with God, who is worthy of all of our worship, we must start, church, by knowing that he simply is. Well, what I mean is he is uncaused. And though he created everything, he himself is not created. He is uncreated. And though he makes, he was never made, church. And though he causes, he was never caused. Is your head spinning a little bit yet? I hope so, because that's good. That means you're paying attention. You see, God is too much. He is too much for our human comprehension and certainly too much for our limited language to fully capture him. And thus, we have to first understand that our words, they just fall short. And that God, church, God simply is. But even with that being said, I want you to know that it is okay, okay? It's okay to try to put into words all that God is, all that he is, as David and countless others have attempted to do since the beginning of time. For example, in Psalm 90, verse 2, the psalmist writes, "Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." So he, God, he is uncaused. And also, he, God, is unchanging. For he needs no descriptors, because he never changes, and he always has been, and he always will be. For elsewhere in the Psalms, it is declared, "But you, God, you remain the same. And your years, they will never end." That's Psalm 102, verse 27. And thirdly, he, God, he's ungoverned. While you and I are governed by all sorts of forces, think about it. The weather, right? Gravity, geographical terrain, our bodies, tax hikes, interest rates, to just name a few. While we are governed by all that and more, God, on the other hand, do you know what? He doesn't check the weather. He makes it. And he doesn't obey gravity, for it follows his command. And he isn't affected by health, for he has no temporal body. That's John 4:24. And he can be everywhere, all at the same time. That's Psalm 139, verse 7 and 8. And I say all that to say this, church. This is our Yahweh, church. This is our Yahweh, the Lord. The same Yahweh, mind you, who says, "I know you're tired. I know you're tired. Give me your burdens. I want to help you." But yet we, as humans, we have this tendency to seek out lesser gods, ones that we can create and ones that we can change and ones that we can govern for our own benefit. And with that said, one of the heaviest burdens that we can carry is the burden of a lesser God. And this burden is even a burden that is causal of other burdens that you and I carry. And it's dangerous. It's dangerous because at first glance, do you know what? It doesn't sound like a burden at all. Because it starts when, in order to help lighten our own burdens of life, we pick out a God. We pick out a God who is not as intense as the Christian God, one who doesn't require so much of our attention and so much of our allegiance, a God-light, perhaps, version, if you will, one where there is little accountability and one that eases our consciences just enough so that we can go about our daily business. And we, you know what else? We can put this God on the shelf and just dust it off maybe around holidays or when we really want or need something. What I mean is we think of God as a genie, convenient and cheerful, waiting to serve us when we need a parking spot or maybe when we need a discount on a big purchase or when you or I, when we need a good grade. We might even associate this version of God with an item that we can put in our pocket that when we're done, we can just put it back in. Into our pocket or into a bottle for safekeeping. Or maybe we pick or we have a view of God, a lesser God that is like the Wizard of Oz, one that's angry a lot, and one that when we try to approach him, we just get yelled at. So, like Dorothy and her friends, we are left to deal with our problems alone. And we take this God out when we think that we need a good talking to, right? Or when we need to get motivated, but he's really not as helpful as we had hoped. So back to the shelf. Or maybe for you, maybe you think about or create a lesser God that is like a busy dad. One that you don't see too much throughout the week because he has a ton to do, he has a lot to do. But you know what? He'll show up on Sunday though. So we make sure that we look our best and that we behave or else. But every other day of the week, we can get away with a lot. But church, the problem with lesser gods is that while they're quite convenient, they are not very powerful. And so when the daily pressures of life build up, or when tragedy strikes, we find that our genie, or our Wizard of Oz, or our busy dad God, we find that they are just not sufficient. So we are left to our own devices in that moment. And this might look like anything, church, than giving up on our faith. It can look like switching from one concept of God to another based on the situation, a God buffet, if you will. Or it can look like trying to earn enough good credits with God to erase the bad stuff that we do, just hoping to break even. However, David, well, he gives us a picture of God that is much better, okay, than any of these that we have mentioned. Because after calling God by his name, David then says, "The Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. I lack nothing." Now, shepherd, let's think about this a second. I mean, couldn't David have thought of a more impressive way to refer to God other than a lowly, smelly keeper of sheep? I mean, think about this. How about if he had used, wouldn't you think it'd be better to use, "Yahweh is my commander, and I have all of the weapons I need for battle"? Or, "Yahweh is my personal trainer, and I'm strong enough for any task"? Or, "Yahweh is my sugar daddy, and I have all the money I could ever ask for"? Well, remember, church, remember, before David was a popular musician and a poet, before he was a victorious warrior, before he was beloved king, he was a shepherd. And thus he knew the work that it took to take care of sheep. And he knows that sheep are dumb, and sheep are defenseless and dirty, and that in order to care for them properly, he had to be with them 24/7, protecting them from vicious predators and enemies, and caring for their wounds and guiding them so they didn't get lost. And he knew that shepherding was and is very hard work. Why? Well, because sheep, do you know what? Sheep easily go astray. And David knew, he knew something. He knew this was true of him. And it's true of us too. And perhaps the most tempting of all the lesser gods is ourselves. Us being our own gods. And when you think about it, this is arguably the nature of original sin, the first sin. When humans rejected God's unchanging and uncaused and ungoverned nature to see if they could be godlike themselves. But however fun or however tempting it may be initially to create God in our own image, I gotta ask you something. Can we claim the same type of care and power from any lesser God that we create? Can our version of God ensure that we lack nothing? Can we speak to them with such intimacy and with such confidence as we can Yahweh God? I don't think so, okay? And so we see that when we follow lesser gods, including ourselves, that the burden that we originally sought to get rid of, it only increases. Because the burden of a lesser god is dangerous, because it promotes self-reliance. Now, wait a second, you may say. We are Americans, right? We pride ourselves on self-reliance and on independence. I mean, it's our way of life. We rely on our own powers and our own resources. We are not like David's dumb and defenseless and dirty sheep. Really? Really? Let's just take a quick quiz. I'm going to ask you to take a quick quiz, just in your mind, to see how self-reliant you really are, and I really am. Can you control your moods? Are you at peace with everyone? Do you have no fears? Do you have no faults? Do you need no forgiveness? How'd you do? How'd you do on the test? I bet not perfect, and I bet probably not even that well. You see, though we puff of our chest in pride and in self-reliance. We must, okay? Church, we must, as we analyze and as we think about it, we must realize that we are desperately dependent upon God. God who gave us the breath we even breathe. God who provides the nutrients for the food that we grow. God who provides the energy to do the work that we do. And God who gives us the ability to love and to connect with others. And the list could go on and on, church. Yet the psalm, with all that being said, yet the psalm many of us could probably write as a reflection of our life, of how we truly live, it might sound something more like this. I am my own shepherd, yet I am always in need. I make myself work to the bone, and then I collapse in a heap. My soul is in turmoil, so I binge on junk food and Netflix. And if I even get a whiff of the valley of the shadow of death, I go into panic mode, for I fear everything. And I buy all manner of products to help me cope. And I go to work, and I'm surrounded by my enemies, and then I go home, and it's not much better. So then I anoint my headache with extra strength Tylenol, and my cup, you know, my cup, that overflows with Jack Daniels or super expensive cold brew coffee. Surely worry and weariness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in self-doubt forever. If we're really honest, a lot of those things probably speak more of the psalm we could write. I know it's true of me, and I bet it is many of you. But you see, David knows self-reliance and lesser gods, they leave us running on empty and pretty quickly at that. But reliance on God, church, reliance on him, that is a different story, because reliance on God means that you have everything that you need, everything that you really need. With that said, here's verse 1 of Psalm 23 in a couple different translations. Yahweh is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That's the NIV. We looked at that earlier. The New Living Translation says it this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. The King James, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Church, can you say the same? Let's pause there. Can you say the same of your genie God or your busy dad God or your Wizard of Oz God? All that leave you ultimately on your own at the end. And here's one more thing, okay? One more thing I'd like to point out in regard to the truth of the Lord being our offered shepherd. Do you know how when you look up a word in a dictionary, there are different meanings and they're listed and they're numbered? Well, did you know this? The second meaning of the Hebrew word for shepherd, do you know what it is? It's special friend. Special friend. So not only is Yahweh a shepherd that we can rely on, that we can trust to help us to carry our burdens, but he is also, church, he is a close companion. For he wants to meet all of our needs emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually. We do not have to carry the burdens of a lesser God or of self-reliance because we have a shepherd, church. We have a shepherd and a special friend in Yahweh who is willing, hear me now, he is willing and able, in fact, immensely able to care for us if we only let him. So where are you leaning today? Where are you leaning too much on your own resources or on your own energy or on your own time or on your own ideas? And honestly answer, have those things fallen short for you? I know they have for me, okay? I tend to work in my own power way too much to accomplish my work as a pastor. So I confess that today. And I repent of it today. And I ask God, church, I ask him to help me surrender more and trust him more fully. And I ask that, asking you, are you willing to do the same? Are you willing to allow God, Yahweh, your shepherd and your friend, to provide for all your needs as you lay down your lesser gods, as you lay down your self-reliance. For we all need nothing less, church. We need nothing less than Yahweh, a truly cosmic God. Think about it. A truly cosmic God that stands outside of the limitations of our understandings of time and space. And outside of the boundaries of human history with all its complexities and all its complications. A truly cosmic God more powerful than any other force. For only Yahweh can and has defeated sin and death. And only Yahweh can guide us through this world that he created. And not only do we need him, but he is a God who desires. He desires to have a relationship with his people, with you. Now, earlier I read Matthew 11, 28 to 30, which came right after Jesus making his claim, right? Remember, as the Son of God. I want you to allow me to read it again in the Message translation. It says it this way. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Jesus says, come to me. He says, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. And I'll show you, he says. You know what he says? I'll show you how to take a real rest. Doesn't that sound good? And then he continues, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it and learn from the unforced rhythms of grace. And he also says, I won't lay anything heavy or anything ill-fitting on you. Just keep company with me, he says. And he says we'll learn something by doing that. He says we'll learn to live freely and that we'll learn to live lightly. So church, in revealing himself as the Son of God, think about this. Jesus immediately offers to ease your burdens and to work alongside you to bring something called real rest and refreshment in the midst of those burdens, in the midst of that hard work. You know, the Apostle Peter, he says it this way in 1 Peter 5, 7. Cast all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Now let me ask you, does that sound like the religion you've experienced? If not, or if you've forgotten this, know today, okay, that this, what we've talked about, this is the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible, one that shares our burdens and doesn't add to them. And he invites us, he invites you to join your life with his so that you are never alone, church. You are never alone carrying the burdens of life. And I got to close with this. Reliance on him, it is not a sign of weakness. Don't ever fall for that trap. It is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength, church. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are so, so good. And Lord, I just want to thank you in this moment for how you reveal yourself to us through your word, who you truly are. Not who maybe some others have told us, not even what we've conjured up in our own minds, but you are Yahweh God. You are who you are, and you desire to be a special friend to us, to have relationship with us. So Lord, in saying that, I can only imagine there are people here that maybe this is not the religion they've known or that they've been practicing. Lord, if that person is here today, I just pray that they would accept Jesus. They would respond to that plea of his to come to him. And that they would just surrender their life at his feet, into his hands, and just receive the forgiveness he offers when he went to that cross for sin and for death, conquering it when he rose. So I pray, Lord, whoever that person is, that they would just put their faith in you and that you would surround them with people that would help them to walk. Maybe they could go to our Connection Center or see me or something and just say, I put my faith in Jesus, and we could just pray with that person. And Lord, for others of us who No. We're convicted, as Jess said earlier. We're convicted that we create lesser gods, that we take too much on ourselves and we leave too much you out. Lord, would you help us to just release and feel refreshed? We pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Would you please stand, if you could, for worship through song?